Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's the Stones bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And the one and only. The world is happy about that. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Michael Salzman is our guest, and he's a great member of our Brain Trust, Research Director for Employment Policies Institute, EPI.org, right?
EPIonline.org. EPI.org is the union-backed folks.
On right. No, we don't know. We don't want to confuse those. Talk about fish and fowl.
That's right.
EPIonline.org and also the facesof15.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. New project of ours.
All right. And so, folks, we're talking about the minimum wage. And if I had my way, Michael, there wouldn't be a minimum wage anywhere. It would not exist in any form or fashion because it's a form of price control. And it's a political football that Republicans get beat up about when they try to just make common sense about how the economy works. They get beat up about it by Democrats. And they get some votes from it, even though it hurts people. Now, you've got research showing how the minimum wage actually hurts people more than it helps them.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we've done quite a bit of research into this. In fact, one of the issues we looked into most recently is this idea that somehow you can save taxpayers money by raising the minimum wage. The argument goes something like, if you create a $15 minimum wage, you know, people are going to have more money. They're going to be less eligible for public programs, you know, welfare programs. And even folks like, you know, TV host Bill O'Reilly have kind of bought into this idea.
Well, now, wait a minute, Michael.
Yeah.
These are the same people who use that argument are the same people who won't let us use dynamic scoring as a reason for lowering taxes, right? Because what they're describing is a form of dynamic scoring, right?
Yes, and there are a lot of inconsistencies, even in the fact that they've set the eligibility levels for these programs, and then now they're complaining that people are using them.
Right. The point I'm making, folks, is dynamic scoring is where if you lower taxes, people will have more money to spend. It'll create job growth, and all that combined, the churn of all that will ultimately create more tax dollars. And so that's called dynamic scoring. And what you just described by these minimum wage people is essentially the same thing in the other way.
Well, what we've determined that when you try and work the math the other way, at least based on what the data says over the last 30 years, is it doesn't really work out because, you know, while you have some people who, you know, there are some programs where you may see a slight reduction in other programs, after the minimum wage goes up, you actually see an increase in use. And it's because, you know, if somebody loses hours at work or in some cases loses their job, then they're actually using more public benefits than they were before. And so I think I'd rather have somebody that was, you know, partially supported by a program than 100% dependent on the government when we raise their minimum wage, and now their new minimum wage is zero.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that you've learned?
Well, one of the other interesting, you know, things that we did is we actually surveyed economists. We surveyed, you know, we sent a survey to over 500 of the top labor economists in the country to ask them what they thought about a $15 minimum wage. You know, and actually the responses we got, actually mostly from Democrats. I think about 60-some percent of our respondents were Democratic-leaning economists, so not a partisan group at all. Vast majority of them said that they thought a $15 minimum wage was a bad idea. It would cost jobs, and that it was not anywhere near the best way to reduce poverty. And so I think it suggests for anyone who is maybe confused or on the fence about this that what's driving the fight for a $15 minimum wage has everything to do with union priorities.
Why is Sanders and Clinton able to continue to propose raising minimum wage in the face of that kind of research?
Well, I think in Bernie Sanders' case, I think it's probably the case that his motivation is not maybe is not evidence-driven there. I mean, a lot of the policies he wants to do in terms of, you know, single-payer health care plans and, you know, maybe forgiving everyone's college debt. I mean, I think some folks have looked at the numbers on that and really suggested that there's not a whole lot to back it up. Mm. And so I think I'd just throw the $15 minimum wage in the pot there. You know, with the Hillary Clinton, it's a little more, I think, of a complex picture. You know, she's been kind of cagey on 15. She's supported 12. Some of the economists that she's aligned with have come out and supported 12. I think she's in a tough position right now because I think the Clinton administration, you know, the first Clinton administration took pains to be very careful with minimum wage policy. And so I think Hillary's trying to appeal to both sides.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out with these guys. You know, one of the things that Margaret Thatcher said was the problem with socialism, which minimum wage, folks, is a form of socialism. We have a lot of socialism in America. Some of it, we even like Social Security is a form of socialism. I admit that. But minimum wage is a form of socialism that's hurting people and more than it's helping. And Margaret Thatcher said that the problem with socialism is that eventually it runs out of other people's money to spend. Right?
And that's right, and I think especially in the case of minimum wage increases, the people's money who you're talking about are the price-sensitive customers of grocery stores and restaurants. And, mm-hmm. you know, if these folks were always willing to pay higher prices, you know, you and I wouldn't have to be having a talk or there wouldn't be any debate about the minimum wage.
And see, and this is why people wonder why, when I poll small business owners about which party they're aligned with, like 85-90% are going to vote Republican. Because they know that if the Democrat is in the White House and in Congress, that the minimum wage might go up. That's one example. It might go up, and it'll hurt their business. It disproportionately hurts small businesses. A minimum wage increase does than it does a big company. Michael Salzman and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.